don't mean with myself. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, hope now.
And one of the things that I've I noticed that clearly is it's I think a critical piece or component of the work that together we do. And that is that God seems to consistently populate the relationships with the apostolic and prophetic. And by that, to be more specific, apostles and prophets. When we say prophets, we know in Christ there's neither male nor female. But there's a scriptural and biblical designation known in the New Testament as prophetess. So clearly we have a biblical precedent for men and women occupying an office called prophet, prophetess. I'm raising this to encourage you, to say to you and to encourage you that when God assembles a company of people, He doesn't do it in a haphazard manner.
Amen.
God arranges His house in two ways. God arranges His house with similar graces, and God arranges His house with diverse graces. The purpose of the diversity is to, I don't really even like the word balance, so I'm going to refrain from using it. The word balance has been hijacked by humanism and humankind, so I prefer to avoid it. So I'll use, rather than balance, the word complete. We know that in the final analysis, the Scripture promises us, in the letter written by Paul to the Ephesian believers, that the body of Christ, the corporate person, if you will, of Christ in the earth, will be brought to a place called and quantified and defined as the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. The fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Now, stature doesn't mean 5'10 or 6'2. Stature means spiritual stature. It means the filling up of a measure. So, thusly, the word complete in the original Greek language means to cram a net, to fill up a net. When a net is full, it's full. So the word complete uses that analogy and that picture in its definition. I'm struck today by the graces represented in this room, and I'm setting this up that way to say to you that I believe we've stepped across the threshold into a new time and a new season that I will call a season of awakening. That some of you and many who hear this message will find themselves in this season awakening to a recognition of the grace that's always attended them. It's always been in their life. just in the last week or so, we were meeting with a particular person who is a businessman, a successful businessman. And this person was talking about a relationship in the business with another person and how that other person was struggling in this way or that way. And I just felt to ask the question, do you think that person is struggling because he's a pastor? The businessman said, well, he's not a pastor. He's in our business. He's not a pastor. And I said, don't let the fact that you guys are in this business separate you from the reality that everybody's called, that everybody is a carrier of grace, that everybody has a spiritual destiny. And just because a person happens to be an architect or in this business or that business doesn't eliminate the fact that that person is a carrier of grace. Mm-hmm. So some of the great challenges, whether in business, in the church as we know it, and generally in the body of Christ and in the nations, come as a result of misplacement. People that are that have a particular grace being put in a place that's difficult for them to function because of the particular grace that they carry and that is part of their spiritual DNA and destiny. This is not even the track that I thought we'd be running on this morning. But I believe these things need to be said so that you come to a place, and this will be your responsibility, of awareness. Now, the younger ones, we understand that they will need our help to manage, to come along, and come to the place that some of us and many of us are. But it's critical for us to remember that the body of Christ is a functioning body. Mm-hmm. And that our role as leaders is to see the body of Christ built and strengthened and see people come to an understanding of what their calling is. And God, make your calling and your election sure. Make full proof of your ministry. And again, these are terms, some of these ministry, some of these terms and some of these words have been hijacked by our common enemy. Not by people, because people mean well. Most people actually mean well. Amen. And most people actually love God. Mm-hmm. So don't look over your glasses and down your noses at folks that may be today in a place that they're doing church or doing ministry in this way or that way. That's not productive. It's not what we ought to be spending our time doing. Criticizing what other people are doing. I think if we devote our time to learning better how to do what we're supposed to be doing, then we're all better off for it. So I want to encourage you to prepare yourself for new awakenings in this season, for new clarity and new understanding. Now, we were in Dallas now 2 weeks ago. It seems like 3 months ago. Melinda and I were there between the 10th and the 15th of October. And, part of what I did in that time was to give a message out of Ephesians chapter 1. Interestingly, and it's not that this was shocking, or it's not that this kind of thing is unusual, because it in fact is not unusual. We prepare, we wait, we listen, we hear, and we go, and then somebody else gets up and says it. It's lovely to me. I love it. I mean, it's like, this is like, this is brainless, really. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, God's got this body and the parts are moving and we never have to do the heavy lifting. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, the folks that are straining are not taking full advantage of the grace. We don't strain. You know, Jesus said to the disciples when he sent them, don't take a purse. Don't take a script. And I'll never forget, and some of you have heard me tell the story, I'll never forget the time we were in Pennsylvania and Sam and various others of us and we had finished a three-day, I think a weekend conference or something, and we were doing kind of a debrief on a Sunday night. And the following day, on that Monday, we were to go into, I believe it was Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and address a group of leaders from the Pennsylvania and Maryland region. And, you know, and I'm kind of kicked back thinking, you know, made in the shade. I'm my work is over. I can coast because tomorrow, when we go, Sam's going to be, you know, Sam's been tasked to speak to these leaders, and I'm just going along for the ride. I'll carry bags, get cups of water. I'll do, you know, what I do. And in that debrief meeting, Sam, literally as an aside, says, oh, by the way, Brother Jeff, I won't be going to Harrisburg tomorrow with you brothers. Now, Sam's the speaker. So he just has just announced to us that the speaker is not going to Harrisburg to speak tomorrow. But this is the way he said it. I'm not going to Harrisburg with you brothers tomorrow. But you don't need me anyway. You have Brother Michael. So let me tell all of you something. You too. You're in the same line. That's coming and has I'm sure already come to some of you, many of you, and more of that is coming. Because God is serious about us coming to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And if that's not real, then we ought to pack up, fold our tent, go do something different. But it is real. So now it's like all of a sudden in one nanosecond, my direction has changed. I go from the person going along for the ride to the person who's going to speak to a group of leaders from a two-state region, most of whom I've never met before and don't know. And when I got to my room that night, I said, Lord, what is this? I mean, Lord. And the Lord said to me in very clear terms, yes, you're the one I'd always chosen to do this. And I said, Lord, I will go, and I will do this. Amen. And then the Lord said, and you mustn't take a script. Now that's the calf that I had fashioned. Oh yeah, that is the calf that I had fashioned. I love a script. I love an outline, color-coded, numbered, lettered, organized. That is my cup of tea. And the Lord said, no, you're going to go and you're going to speak to these leaders and I will not permit you to take a script. And I said, dear Jesus. So all of this to say, when Sam got up in the opening session in Dallas and opened his book to Ephesians chapter 1, and he and I, believe me, I don't know what people think, you know, but he and I hadn't talked. in quite some time. And the organizational work that we had been involved in for the Dallas gathering had been it had been in the presence of others, but there had been no talk whatsoever about who's going to do what and what part and all of this. It's just simply not the way we operate. So when I got there with my work put together to begin in Ephesians 1, and Sam got up in the very first session and began to preach out of Ephesians 1, I said, okay, here we are. And so in Ephesians 1, there's this lovely verse that we've referred to on many occasions, that in the fullness of time, that there is the New American Standard Bible says the an administration suitable for the fullness of time. An administration suitable for the fullness of time. In every season, God provides the perfect economy. We say that because God gives a grace for every epoch. This scripture refers to an administration that's perfectly suited for the fullness of time. The word here in King James uses the word dispensation. In other more modern translations, it uses the word administration. But this word is where we get our English word economy from. So there's economy. There's an economy that's given by God that perfectly suits every season. It's perfectly suited for every season. But in Ephesians 1, it goes on to say that in the fullness of time, that everything is going to be gathered up and summed up in Christ. So, when we were there, we talked about everything being summed up, everything being gathered up and summed up in Christ. But one of the things that we should know is only the things Christ are going to be gathered up and summed up in Christ. Christ is the context. So our ideas don't get included in the summing up unless our ideas happen to reflect and represent the truth of the Christ. So, as we continue to go forward in this walk, Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and to him and from him and through him and to him are all things." Everything comes out from him. Everything goes through him and everything goes back to him. So I'm just going to say, God has this thing so wired from start to finish, from beginning to end, God has the whole thing so wired that all we really need to be concerned about is plugging into how God's got it wired. Yeah. Anything that we find ourselves, when we find ourselves in a place of strain and struggle, we should stop and ask why. When we find ourselves in a place of bearing up under a load that feels overwhelming or crushing, we should hesitate, slow down, and ask ourselves why. The truth is, still remains to be the truth. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That will never change. If you're a person that you feel that you constantly labor under a heavy burden, then you should take an inventory. You know, it's kind of like somebody said, well, I've got so many plates spinning. Well, did Jesus spin those plates? I mean, I'm speaking to myself, because sometimes I've got so many plates spinning that by the time I get the last plate, you know, a new spin, I better rush back and get the first plate and start spinning on that again. But the truth is, we're not building anything for God. Let me say that again. We're not building anything for God. And God's not building anything for us. God is building something for Himself. Sacrifice and offering thou would not, or to put it in modern terms, you're not interested in sacrifice and offering, but you're interested in me. God's interested in you. He's not interested in what you can do for Him more than He's interested in you. So I want to urge you to take an inventory, to find yourself in a place in these days to be willing. What did the song say? I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. If you're a person who insists on control, you're going to be found struggling in the house of God. Because our control in the house of God is hands wide open. Our control is yieldedness. Our control is to be open and willing. We are oftentimes these days, Ross and I are having conversations, because he's that generation. He represents, you guys will get this and you'll appreciate it. He's part of that generation that asks why. All right, yeah, I see you guys doing this way. Why? Or why do you say this? Or why do you believe that way? Explain it to me. And so I find very often we're in conversations about things like Ananias and Sapphira. You know, breakfast discussion. Light, just chats about such things. Ananias and Sapphira. Why did God respond that way? What provoked God to respond that way? So we were talking about those kinds of things. And Jesus, the call to discipleship. When Jesus said, the person who's not willing to leave father and mother and houses and land cannot be my disciple. And God is not saying you must leave father and mother. You must leave houses and land. It's not what God is saying. But God is saying, if you're going to climb this mountain, you're going to have to open your hands. You're going to have to be willing to leave. And I'm speaking to a room full of people who, for most of our lives, and certainly most of these last 20, 30 years and more, we've been willing to leave houses and land. You know, I'll as a sidebar, and I may edit this out of the message, as a sidebar, I'll say, not too very long ago, I said, God, you've had me leaving all my life. What's that about? I build, then I leave. I build and I leave. I build something up, and then you call me to leave it. What is that about? And I think it's about, for me, I think it's about, are you willing to build and leave it and come and follow Jesus? Are you willing? So, when I hear people say, well, I could never do this, or I could never travel overseas, or I could never do this sort of thing, or I just don't know that I would ever... And I'm hearing that as a person, whether it's fear, whether it's obscure vision, I'm hearing that as a person who has an unhealthy control of their life. I think the better option is hands wide open. There's this verse in Matthew 13:52. It says, every scribe instructed in the kingdom knows how to bring out of his treasury things both old and new. Things both old and new. There are old things. There are ancient things that are just as valuable as they've always been, and they will never diminish in value in the kingdom of God. That's why I don't like the scent and the sound when I hear the saints say, well, we don't sing hymns anymore. If a hymn was inspired by the Holy Spirit, why would we feel that we are at liberty to discard it? Now, yeah, I mean, some of it's got some theology that needs to be updated. But my point is this. Sometimes God has us reaching back to get the thing that many would say is old and bring it into the new context of the revelation understanding that we have today. So part of what you saw, if you were in Dallas, part of what you saw in Dallas was something of a spotlight or a highlight or an underscoring of the prophetic, for instance. Well, again, who in the room hasn't had a bad experience with the prophetic? I mean, come on, let's get a grip. And if we've had a bad experience, then we've also heard people who, as a result of having a bad experience, feel that they are at liberty to discard the prophetic. I can promise you this, until we come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, we will desperately need the prophetic. We're going to continue to need the prophetic. Just like we're going to continue to need evangelists, just like we're going to continue to need all of the other. And you know that to be so. But what we're going to watch God do, Lanny Clark, in the message that he gave in the Dallas gathering, used the word recontextualization. There's a context that these things fit very well in, and there's a context that they don't fit very well in. For instance, again, no criticism, but the top-down control structure of the institutional local church is not the place God's going to send very many prophets.
Yeah.
Just doesn't work, huh? Yeah, doesn't work. Because you got insecure pastor meets angry prophet. It's a recipe for disaster. So that's not the context. That's not the proper context. But the truth remains that God intends to provide a context That's a perfectly suited administration to receive the prophets and prophetesses and those with prophetic grace and nurture them and honor them and see them grow and released into a place of mature function. So I'm pleased to say we've, I'm thinking about Yvonne right now. I think I could say in good conscience, Yvonne, we've always done that. We've always had that heart. We've always had a desire to see those kinds of things recapitulated, brought together, summed up, brought back and restored. So with that thought in mind, I had a dream earlier this year. In the dream, the banner theme of this dream was displaced prophets. Displaced prophets. And in the dream, I went into a restaurant, and I'm going to make this very quick, but it's a very detailed dream. I went into a restaurant, and I can remember in the dream vividly having this feeling in this sense, I'm alone. Wow. I'm going to go in this restaurant. I'm going to get a table for one. Hallelujah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We don't get those kinds of opportunities. You don't. We don't get those kinds of opportunities often. And I remember having this sensation in a dream like, I'm going to really thoroughly enjoy this. I just, me, myself, and I, all three of us, we're going to have this great meal and get some time to reflect and think. And I was greeted and I was led to a place in this restaurant, and I was seated at a table for two top table. As soon as I pulled the chair under the table, a person walked across the room, pulled the other chair out on the other side of the table and sat down and said, and I looked up and the person said, you don't know me, but when I saw you come into the restaurant, I knew that I needed to talk to you. I said, you're right, I don't know you. So we agree on that. First point we agree on. Second point, I'm not sure. I said, who are you? And the man said, I am a displaced prophet. And he began to articulate some scripture and theology and doctrine. And anyway, we started this engagement, and the long and short is, within a matter of 20 or 30 minutes, the entire restaurant, everybody in the restaurant had stopped doing what they were doing and was listening to our conversation. Second dream, second scene in the same dream. I was walking with a man that I know to be a displaced prophet. Real time, real life. I know the person. I saw his face. I know this person to be a displaced prophet. I was walking with him, and he said, will you go with me to my house? And I said, yes, I will. And we're walking, and let me just say, because I try in these kinds of situations not to give information, so much information that you could figure out or others could figure out who I'm talking about. So suffice it to say, this person lives in a part of the U.S. That when he opened the door to his house and we stepped into the room, we stepped into a basement. This person lives in a part of the U.S. that they don't have basements. Because of the water table. No basements exist in this part of the country. Norman, you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Norman's a builder. Norman's from a part of the country that they don't build houses with basements. Unless you want to practice scuba or, you have some other motivation. So But you know, as I reflect on this dream, and this was actually months after I had the dream, he opened the door and we stepped across the threshold into a basement. And the Lord revealed to me that I was re-entering this relationship through His abasement.
Wow.
I'm teaching you something right now about dream language.
Yeah.
This person has been in a place of abasement for a while, struggling. And I think struggling to find a fit in the body and be received by members of the body that aren't threatened by that grace and receive that grace and honor that grace as it resides within this vessel. So at any rate, I had this dream about the abasement and the basement and new technology, new prophetic technology. I think the Lord is saying to us, I know the Lord's saying to me, you must be willing to reach back and pick up the things that some would say, we did that in a former season, or that's old, or whatever, but bring it into the current context of the house of God, the work of God in these days. And I believe, and again, the key word here is willing. You must be willing.
Yes.
We don't have to recruit. We don't have to work to make things happen. But we must be willing in these days. And I believe if we are, God will see our willingness and God will send some to us and we'll have opportunities to help some be restored into a place of honor and function in these days. So I would encourage you to be ready and willing to function in that way or do that sort of thing. Now, things old and new. Can I say to you that everything new isn't more valuable than the other thing? Come on, can I say that to you? And you've heard me say, if you haven't heard me say this before, then you're about to hear it for the first time. The whole idea of new wine, you know, no one puts new wine in what?
Old wineskin.
In an old wineskin. Well, the issue with new wine is most of it's not fit for consumption. Come on, somebody, you missed an incredible opportunity to say, oh yeah, that's right, I know that's right. Most of the new wine is not fit for consumption. It's got to go through a process.
Mm-hmm.
Aging. It's got to go through a fairly elaborate process, in fact, before it is ready to be consumed.
That's good.
And unfortunately, so often, new things come along, new ideas, new doctrine, new theology, new messages, new quote-unquote truth. And it's rolled out the week it comes out. There's a new book, there's a new CD series, there's a new podcast, there's a new this and a new that to present the new thing. And I'm going, whoa, easy, big fella. Reel that in. You know, let's reel that in and make sure that matches, that it's a tissue match before we offer that for organ donation. Let's make sure it's a good tissue match for the whole counsel of God, the whole book, in other words.
Amen.
And so what happens is everything that's new isn't by virtue of it being new better. But everything old, by virtue of it being old, isn't the best that God had to offer. See, there's revelation that according, again, to the book of Ephesians, God has hidden for long ages past. That's the language. God hid certain blocks of revelation until the time that it was to be revealed. So, just because we've had a doctrine or we've had an idea for a long time doesn't mean that God doesn't intend to update that idea as time goes on. So we must be willing to allow and even invite God to update our technology, our theology. Anybody still using DOS? Randy, you still running DOS? Did you ever run DOS? Okay, but you're not running it still. Well, we know some people who do and who think that they cannot live without it. But at any rate, Jeremy, VOIP. What in the world is VOIP?
Voice over internet protocol.
Okay. Anybody who else knows about voice over internet protocol? Hello. Technology is changing. Again, there's new, everything new. Jeremy, everything in your business that somebody rolls out is new as the next thing, next best thing since sliced bread. This is going to be the thing that's going to put us all on top. This is going to replace everything. It doesn't always work out that way. But if we drag our feet and say, no, sir, rotary dial, not giving it up. I don't care what they say. I don't care what Jeremy says. I am not giving up my rotary dial. Or I'm not giving up my DOS platform. Okay? You don't have to. You don't have to. And we will wave to you in the rear view.
Yes.
We'll wave you goodbye in the rear view. Now here's the point. Everything old and everything new isn't by virtue of it being old or by virtue of it being new the best that God has to offer. There are old things that actually increase in value over time. Doesn't that sound like truth to you? Truth is ancient. Truth is timeless. Truth that is truth is timeless. It doesn't have an expiration date on it. The grass withers, the flowers fade, the Word of God remains forever. So, but we must be willing to invite God and receive the Lord as He updates our understanding. So, every scribe instructed, or a wise scribe, we could say, in the kingdom, knows how to reach into the treasury and bring out the old thing, or reach into the treasury and bring out the new thing. And interestingly, I study one of the tools that I use is Kenneth B. Wiest Word Studies, Kenneth B. Wiest Expanded New Testament. And for the new and the old, Wiest translates the new and the old by using different words. Wiest uses the words the fresh and the familiar. So we're in a day now that God is giving us some fresh understanding. Is the fresh understanding new? Is the fresh truth new? Not new. Maybe new to us. It may be new to some, but it's not new. It's actually the thing, the ancient thing that has always been and will ever be. But God is bringing into our view and into our understanding that thing that today now is fresh. And it's going to be, he's also going to have us reaching back into the place of pulling in the familiar thing and bringing it into a new context. So I'm urging us to do a couple of things. Number one, be willing to think differently than you've thought before, perhaps. Be willing to have God come in and update your version of reality, your version of truth. And number two, be willing to receive that in the form of whoever God might send it to you in.
Amen.
Be willing to receive that thing by whoever God may send it to you in whatever form God sends it to you. So for instance, in the last 10 days, I've been looking at and considering this thing about John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. John was an unusual person. His father was a Levitical priest. John was born into the line of the Levitical priesthood. But John was found in the desert, in the wilderness. He was outside of the system. He was outside of the city. He was outside of that ordinary arrangement. And he was the one that was identified as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I want to encourage you to never underestimate the voice of one. Never underestimate the voice of one. And very often, if you happen to be the voice of one, you will find yourself in a place called the desert. The wilderness. So we have brothers and sisters here and there who at times feel like they are the voice of one. It's not true that they're the only voice. It's never true that I'm the only voice. That's never true. But it can feel that way. If you know what I'm talking about right now, just give me some kind of sign. Yeah, it can feel that way. But never underestimate the influence of the voice of one. And I think it's really critical that we don't fall into the trap of taking upon ourselves the responsibility to measure and evaluate ourselves based on what we see and know about ourselves. What if you're that voice of one alone in the desert? What if that's you? And what if the obvious alternative is to give that up and go do what everybody else is doing? Then if John had done that, he would not have been the one to say, "Behold the Lamb." See, it was in the desert that John really got to know God. Got to really know the voice of the Lord. So, maybe God's got you in an obscure place. Maybe God's got you in a place of feeling at times that you're the only one. And how can my life be of value to God if I'm kind of in this place, alone and isolated. Well, you can't afford to measure what God's doing in your life and with your life in that way. Maybe your influence, maybe you're influencing nations that you'll never put your foot on terra firma. You'll never walk on the soil of that nation. Maybe in the spirit, you're actually influencing leadership that God's going to raise up in other nations. And you'll never actually yourself visit that nation. The voice of one. We must be willing, I believe, in this season to bring back the old, to restore that which was lost. Remember the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son? The parable of the lost coin. At the very moment that the woman realized that a coin was lost, she gave up doing everything else. And then what did she do? She what?
Sought out and searched.
It's not the first thing she did. First thing she did was lit a candle. First thing we need is light. Every one of us, the very first thing we need is light. Once we have light, then we can search. We're not searching blind. It's not a wasted search then. So she lit a candle, and that candle lit up the entire house, and she then went about and set about the task of making a search, and she found the lost coin. So I'm encouraging you to be willing to be about the business of looking for the lost coin in this season. Maybe God's going to connect you to people, a person, that you'll be instrumental in seeing that person make their way back to their homeland, their spiritual homeland, their spiritual fit, how they fit and where they fit in the body. And I just had a conversation just before we started here in this meeting today, just before we gathered in this room to start, I just had a conversation with one of you about working with a person who's looking and searching to find where they fit in the body. And it sounds to me like that search has ended this person in frustration, because the person's attempt is to fit where they are in this particular situation, and they can't find a fit there. But believe me, in my Father's house, don't worry about it. Yeah. You fit. Come on now.
Yeah.
I said, you fit. In my Father's house, you fit. In my Father's house. Not only do you fit, in my Father's house are many mansions. You're not relegated to some little cabin over in the corner of Glory Land. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Jesus said, "For not so, I would have told you." In other words, this was in reference to Philip. Said, "You know, Lord," Jesus said, "I'm going." Philip said, "Well, where are you going?" And Jesus said to Philip, "The way you know. The way you know." Don't you love that? I love that. The way you know. The way you know. The elevator may not have gotten all the way to the top floor, but the way I know. You know the way. So Jesus said, Philip said, "Well, we don't know the way." Jesus said, "I am the way, truth, and life." And in my Father's house, same context, same passage, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be also. Philip said, well, how do we get there from here to there? The way you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe you find yourself serving in this next time as someone's guide. Come and go with me. Come and go with me. Come and see. Isn't that what Philip said? Nathaniel said, come and see. Just come and see. And for so long, you know, many have thought that that was a come to a church meeting. Mm-hmm. Go to a conference.
Come into life.
Go over here. Yeah. Go over. Come see a man. Mm-hmm. Not me. Not you. Not us. Come see a man that told me everything about myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come and let me introduce you mm-hmm. to the one.
Mm.
Right? So this is a season for that. We talked a little bit about the prophetic this morning, but let me say, I'm meeting by phone with, I've started this past week meeting by phone, video call with two evangelists. And part of the purpose of this exercise is to help those brethren find the current context for evangelist. I'm telling you, we're going to see some of us, some generation. Norman, it may not be you and me,
right.
But one of our subsequent generations is going to see everything restored to its proper context. Everything restored to its proper context. So we're going to see pastor as equipper. I said we're going to see pastor as equipper.
Come on.
Not as caregiver.
Yeah, right.
Not as the one that marries everybody, buries everybody, make sure the grass gets cut, the building gets painted. You know, tends to the expansion program and 100 other things that most pastors are doing today. Now, we're going to see pastor restored to the equipping function. That truth, that old truth, must be restored to its current and proper context. But the same thing's true for prophet, same thing's true for teacher, the same thing's true for elder, deacon, the same thing is true for all of the parts and components of the government of God. We're going to see some one of our generations is going to see everything made ready. Listen to this. All creation is groaning. Every leaf on every tree, every blade of grass, every atom, every proton, every neutron, every piece and part of all of creation was made subject to vanity and is now groaning, awaiting for the manifestation of the next great apostle. Is that what it says? No. 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 The groan is not for the next great apostle. The groan is for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's you, ladies. That's us, guys. That's all of us. That's each and every one of us. And all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation, it says, was made subject to vanity until the manifestation of the sons of God, when all of the creation is going to be delivered into a reality called the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Some generation is going to see this. Acts 3, 19 through 21. Jesus is held up in the heavens until the times of the restitution of all things. Then it elaborates. Every word that every prophet has ever spoken about the things of God, the house of God, the kingdom of God. Jesus is held up in the heavens until the time of the restitution of all of those things. There's going There's a generation coming that's going to see all of these things gathered up, all of these things summed up in the Christ. Our job between here and there is to know our Father, is to help others know the Father,
yes.
See the sons of God grow and mature, and do that out without the limitations of competition.
Yes.
Amen.
Without the limitations of our ideas and even our insistence on that looking like something that makes us feel comfortable. Some of this stuff's not going to make us feel comfortable.
Right.
And God's going to be right smack dab in the middle of it. And He's going to be doing it. So I want to encourage you. This room is filled with those who God is raising up to receive others and, again, help guide them into this kind of place. Do you believe it?
Yes.
You believe? Do you see yourself as such a person?
Yes.
I hate the language. I don't hate people. But I hate the language when I hear somebody say, well, I had this little vision. Oh, really? A little vision. I just have this little prophetic word. You'll never have a little prophetic word. If the Lord has given you something, it's huge. If the Lord has given you something, it's valuable. If the Lord, not if the Lord, but when the Lord gives you these pieces and parts, they are extremely valuable. So, see yourself in this role. And look, this is not limited to, it's not relegated to a meeting on a Sunday once a month, or meeting every Sunday morning, or meeting in a building with a group of believers. This is your work every day of the week. Wherever you go, wherever God sends you, this is your work.
Amen.
Nothing secular in the kingdom.
Amen.
If you're in the business sector and you're out here rubbing shoulders with business people,
come on.
I can tell you something that is definitively true. If you assume everybody you come into contact with is hurting, you'll be right 100% of the time. God sends you into a situation with a person, just be open. You don't have to like have a script.
Yeah.
You're not obligated to do or say anything.
I'll turn your collar around.
That's good, Ralph.
Be willing. Be willing. Be open. Be listening.
Amen.
Let me tell you what will happen as a result. What will happen as a result is you're going to find yourself in conversations with people and they've been waiting weeks, months, and years to hear what comes out of you. And it's going to be like a key that opens up a part of their life, and they're going to be able to step in to a new place as a result of God sending you into that situation, into that person. Are you willing?
Yes.
You're capable. You've been trained. You're ready. Now the question is, are you willing? It's interesting. Remember Gideon? Okay. There were 32,000. With Gideon, there were 32,000 men. And of these 32,000, God says to Gideon, say this to them, anyone who is fearful and anyone who is afraid can go home. No reprisal. You won't be in trouble. You don't get demerits. You're not going to get thrown in the brig. You're released and you're free to go home. Anyone who's fearful and anyone who's afraid. And what happened? 10,000 cut 32,000 down to 10,000. And then God says, now I'll test the rest of them. I will test the rest of them. And then the 10,000 were cut down to 300.
Mm-hmm.
So less than 1%. If you're fearful and if you're afraid, you may go. That's what God said for Gideon to say to them. You may go. 22,000 left. 10,000 stayed. 10,000 were willing. And God said, let me test those 10,000. From 10,000 down to 300. 300 were able. 10,000 were willing. 300 were able. It's a picture of us. We're not smarter than anybody else, really. We're not more capable than anybody else, really. We just stayed the course.
Amen.
We've just stayed the course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've just stayed in the thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When it got hard,
mm-hmm.
we stayed in.
Yeah.
When it was not hard, we stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are. And God is using us, and we're going out into this work. So I want to really encourage you to be aware of and be willing as God raises up people in front of you and points them out to you and gives you something for those persons. Be obedient in these days. You're not alone.
Amen.
You get in a situation where you feel like you're underwater or over your head, you're never alone.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Michael?
You mentioned a couple things of the single, the one, and qualifications and life. Had a vision and that you can all relate to. If you've ever been in or know of how dark it is inside of Carlsbad Caverns, they have lights and they have a trail and everything. And my vision was a group of people were on the trail in Carlsbad or in a cavern. Lights are out. Now, in a cavern, it is so dark you cannot see your hand in front of your face. It is absolute darkness. Okay. One child, one little girl, had a pin light, you know, the little pin lights, and she was able to lead the whole group out of the cavern.
Wow.
Into the light.
Wow.
One pin light, one person.
Yeah, that's cool.
Less qualified than, you know, the adults and everybody else. But it was one, and a light led them to freedom,
wow.
or to the light. And so it, we don't judge by our own inadequacies.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
God is able.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah, that sounds like the Lord. That's good. I got something that you noticed is something that I noticed while you were talking about upgrading, and that's the word that kept coming to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed if you're uncomfortable with something, a lot of times that's something the Lord's going to work out.
Amen.
And praise God, because we don't have to be a bunch of squares walking around all the time. And because the shape is ever-changing. And that's really awesome. But the thing about an iPhone and this new technology and stuff like that, even though it is new technology, if it doesn't have a base technology and it doesn't go back to those old things, an update is useless. See what I'm saying? There can't be an update of something that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we've got to have that foundation to update and upgrade on.
That's good.
And the thing about like iPhone and stuff, it irritates me every time I got to upgrade my phone because it's off for a long time and I can't listen to music or something like that. It doesn't bother me that much anymore. I just get the word. But something that's really awesome. It's when you upgrade and you make that decision to, you know, take a little bit of time out and put the phone down for a little bit, once your phone updates, it gets new access to new apps and new things that it's never been able to access before. So I just encourage y'all, because that's a place where I really feel like the Lord's wanting me to get into is being more comfortable, like around other believers and stuff like that, just because some stuff that I see just crawls all over me, but God's working with me, praise God. You know what I'm saying? So in the trial and in those new things, those new updates, we have an opportunity to receive new blessings. And that was something I felt like the Lord was kind of putting on my heart to share. So I shared it.
What's good about that, Ross, is that the updates, we are going to be unfamiliar with it.
Yeah.
We won't recognize it, and we have to relearn it. Okay? And that, in bringing that over into prophecy or something that the Lord is going to be using with you as your gift, you're going to have to, on yourself, have the grace to do that new upgrade. Okay? And someone else's.
That's right.
Because we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know how floppy it may be.
Yeah.
Okay? We have to have that grace to go along with it because we want to be obedient to the Lord.
That's right. Yep, that's something I'm praying for, is grace and patience. People say don't pray for patience. I'm like, that's a fruit of the Spirit. What are you talking about? Why aren't you praying for patience? That's beautiful. So, that's how I would know.
I just saw something. It's all a puzzle. And the new prophet comes in and puts a piece in. But you don't see the whole picture until that other person comes and either puts an old piece or a new piece or whatever, and then they fit that piece in and they'll say, oh, well, look, now we see the picture. But I just saw the puzzle was not quite finished, and there's pieces from each one of us is making the mosaic out to where you can see the picture.
Good.
That's how the body works.
Misty?
In my experience in the upgrades and the updates and bringing the pieces to everybody, bringing their pieces to make the picture, what has allowed me to enjoy the process of the update, be it a fire, to make whatever it is, the purification that takes place in the update. When I have become selfless and love the body of Christ and the people of God more than I love myself.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because I'm home and I know my destiny and I know who I am. And when I take on the mind of Christ and give my life, my time, my money, whatever, it's not mine. It's not mine anymore. And when you do it, the glory that's going to enter into the lives of the people that you know and may not know, that's where we have to get the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. We have to have that love for, see the picture of what it really is.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the love process. It's a state of being. It's being one, not unified, but one with God. And so immediately when I see the need, I don't jump into action. I just glide into it because that's my brother. That's my sister. There's no time for questions, just the transformation of being there to get the job done, that we elevate together. So when you embrace that, the updates is not even a question. You get it, you lay it down, and you wait.
That's awesome.
That's fine.
He said, with his hands open. And that's what we have to get. There's no gender there. There's no color, there's no ethnicity there. There's no age there. There's nothing but a flow. A flow. Every need is met. Nobody's left out. Nobody's doubting themselves. And that's what we want. And we want people to see us moving in unison as one. That's what we got to get. It has blessed me. I live my life there. I check in to make sure I'm there. God, is anything hindering me? I don't wait for my coat or my body to get hung up on anything. Every morning, search me. Search me, because I'm complete. Then I don't have no worry. Worry can't enter in when I position and practice that. And I just want to share that because it's that loving you more than I'm loving me and say, you all right, what can I do? Well, let me share with you. Let me show you my wounds. And they're healed. I didn't have plastic surgery. God did it. You don't see them anymore, but they were once there. And that's what we have to do.
Good.
I'd like to share something.
Yeah, go right.
In the beginning, you talked about the prophet and prophecy. I'd like to bring just a little clarity to that. Whereas anybody can prophesy, and it doesn't mean you have to say, thus says the Lord. It's experienced by just what Michael said. That's a word. That's a forthcoming prophetic word that you need to listen to. So don't feel that you have to say, thus says the Lord.
Right.
Don't hold back if you've got that inclination from the Spirit to speak. Just make sure it's the Spirit that speaks.
That's good.
Also, I think it's important, as even Missy was talking, we get caught up on the end result. But that's not our part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's knowing we're able to glide and move into it because our part is either to plant or to water. That's all we do. So as we push that update, all our job, so our expectation isn't supposed to be that end result. Oh, I'm going to see this person. I mean, how many times do we minister to one person who that person goes and touches the nation?
Right.
And we have no idea that
right.
one encounter, because all we did was we planted or we watered.
Yeah, it's not my business.
Because my hands are wide open. I don't bring, I bring no change. I bring no increase.
Right.
And, I mean, I say this constantly, but even in my profession, I'm supposed to change people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm supposed to bring change about. I tell my clients every day, I do not fix you. All I do is turn on the light, and I just present the truth. And then whatever you do with it is on you. And if we have that mindset in our body, you know, in the full body, that it isn't, I'm just doing my part.
That's it.
I'm just doing my part. That's why we rejoice when someone else rejoices. That's why we're able to bring the fullness and see Him manifest. Because this hand cannot walk for me. This foot can help me walk, but this hand isn't. I cannot walk on my hand. I do not have balance that well. Never in my life. But it's knowing what each part supplies. And if we're able to come and we're speaking a word, then it's because we're bringing our part. But it's not our expectation that we bring the impact.
Amen. Amen.
Good.
You know, we have no idea what we plant and what we water,
Amen.
But the Lord knows. And if our heart, if we've measured our heart, and it isn't about us and what recognition we get.
Amen.
You know, I probably have a bad habit of not taking recognition. Like, I'm a puppet. That's not me. That's you. You did this. You did this. But I want them to feel empowered. They get to make good choices.
Amen.
You can make a better choice. If I tell them, yes, I made that choice for you, where's their power?
Amen.
Even the Lord gives us a degree of, I don't want to use the word praise, but that's kind of the word that's come to mind. In the end, when He says, well done, good and faithful servant.
I'd rather have that than someone telling
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
So,
yeah.
That's
Amen.
What I want.
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
Good.
And a word doesn't have to be many words.
Nope.
I want to give an example of what happened at the conference. At one of the recesses, I bumped into a man. He was about 6'6". And I, hey, brother, where are you from? And his name, he was from Ohio. And all I said to him was, what's Ohio, how's Ohio handling without you there? The next day he comes to me and says, you blessed me so much, I got to bless you today.
Yeah,
now what did I say? Nothing. But to him it was everything.
It was, that's right. We have no idea.
So you don't have to give a speech.
No. You know, the Lord's also, I've been going to like several churches too, just listening. A few, you know, I just feel like the Lord's taking me, and a lot of times just to sit there and listen. But sometimes it's just to minister to one person. And I just think there's just such a fulfillment in just reaching one person and keeping it simple. I mean, the Lord's not going to tell you, most of the time at least, ain't going to tell you like 20 different steps to take. Mm-hmm. He's just going to focus on that one. But, you know, what's been awesome is a lot of the times that I've been to this church thinking of one that I'm kind of going to currently, the Lord's kind of getting me around people my age, is, I'm not going to say the name of the church, but this one kid I asked just to go along with what you were saying. I was like, so check this out, man. He was struggling with all sorts of anxiety and stuff. I didn't get the urge to pray for him. And then what I got is I was like, man, who are you? Man, if you ask somebody, who are you? Like, and you look them in the eye, who are you? What's your deal? It's amazing to watch people's reactions. It is like castles crumbling. Like, oh, they don't know what to do. Because they realize, man, what am I? Who am I? Does my job define me? And if you're defined by the work you do in Christ, you just wait till you goof up. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been down that road before. She knows about that. She knows about that. A lot of people in this room know about that. But if we're doing just as good as he's doing, then we'll be all right.
Amen.
You know what I mean? No matter the situation. But we got to know who we are. So
that's right.
Good.
Just for popping the soul.
Good.
That's right.
Carlos?
I'm just so far removed from what Michael said, but it's still in my mind of the puzzle. And what you said about light, we are light, so God is the light of the world, and how he showed me a puzzle. And it was like a 1,000-piece puzzle, or 500, whatever. But, and he was very detailed, and I just sort of caught my attention, but in how we put all these pieces, like we're part of the puzzle,
mm-hmm.
and he sees this whole puzzle already, and he's known it forever, the light, and he knows every piece of that puzzle, and when we put it together, our piece, that piece, and the sun, and whatever's and we put it together, there's days, weeks, whatever it is, you're so happy. And then he showed me something else. That the puzzle is shaped like this and that, where all the pieces fit, so you can see every curve of every piece, how it fitted together individually. But God saw that puzzle, and when he showed me that, he showed me a puzzle that didn't have all of the little pieces. It was seamless. It was a picture, a perfect picture, without any seams on it. But we struggle putting every little piece together, and we're so happy. And he's a light. Has always been this all business. Always been this light. He always has known every piece at every time. And on the way here, with Tom, we were going along the river. And it's full and all of this. And I'm thinking of every speck of sand, of every piece of sediment that's going to the Gulf, that gets there. And how in the Gulf is just this alluvial plain where all of the sand is building this more Louisiana. It's just out there. And it's just, he knows every piece that's flowing down there. That's like it just reminds me of the puzzle that he's always started and has never finished. Well, he has finished. And here we are in this little time, and he hit it again. And if we just do our part, because of the next generation, and we may not see this whole picture, but when he showed me what it was like, I'm not worried about it anymore.
Amen.
Cool.
Amen.
I'm not worried about my piece. He knows who I am, and I fit in the puzzle, and of course he did it his way. But it's this wonderful reality. And he showed me that a long time ago. But this talk really brought it to mind again.
Amen.
And it's like a finished work in my heart now, even though I saw it back then.
Good word.
And
good.
It's been a long while.
That's concrete.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
One of the things that Alden said, because we don't see the end, I was reading one day about God feeding the 5,000. And just cruising. And I asked him, Lord, why do we not see it today? The feeding of the 5,000. And this is what he told me. He said, many of the things I did in the natural have the spiritual application. When I give you, I am the bread of life. When I give you a piece of that revelation, that knowledge or whatever, and you give that to somebody else, they take it and give it to somebody else. And they take it and give it to somebody else. He says, with the bread that I have given you, you have fed 5,000. But the good part is, whatever you give away, you are never diminished by.
Amen.
You still have it. You gave it away, but you still have it. You never
every spiritual blessing.
Good. Good.
Every spiritual.
Anyone else?
Come on, Joan, you got something.
Huh?
You got something in your heart.
You can do it.
I just wanted to give a quick testimony about Dallas, and he kind of sums up everything Michael said today. We were not going to go, and in my mind, we were not supposed to go, you know, because nothing looked like it was going to work. And yet there we were, and, you know, I remember we walked in the hotel, and the first thing that happened was Michael approached and said something to Adam and I, and I thought, okay. What a way to start this weekend. What was that about? You know, it's like, where did that came from? But it was a warning, and it was something that we had to take seriously, you know, because what Michael said was, you're going to feel like you're not, you don't fit in. There's no room for you here, and you need to be careful. And I thought, okay. And we got in the elevator, I remember, and everybody, there was a bunch of people, and everybody was pushing the buttons to go to their hotel, you know, to their room. And we kept pushing the button, and the button did not want to push. So people could go to their floor, but we couldn't. And he kept looking at me, and I kept looking at him, like, okay, why is not letting us go to the room? So finally, one of the key people said, well, you need to ask management. I think that's a special floor. You have to have, like, a thing. And I'm going, okay. So it turns out, yes, you had to swipe a key in order to push the button so that you could go to the hotel room. Oh, okay, that's fancy. Okay, then we get in the hotel room, and I'm like, look, this is so cool, you know. And then, you know, we go back down, and we're talking to everybody, and somebody said something. I'm like, oh, just put it in your refrigerator. And everybody's eyes turn around and look, and I was like, you have a refrigerator? Like, don't you? Like, no. Like, oh, I do. I have a refrigerator. So anyway, these little things kept adding up, and I kept going, okay, Lord, I'm not sure where you're going with this, you know. But anyway, they had announced that there was going to be a prophetic night, and if anybody had something to meet with their spiritual fathers, you know, and talk to them or whatever. So I remember I went back to my room that night and I said, Lord, don't dare. Don't go there. I ain't talking. I'm not going up there. I mean, this is 500 people that I don't know. I already feel like I don't fit in. And you're going to tell me to go up there. I know you are. But I'm just telling you right now, Adam wants to send him. You know, so that night Adam was just like, oh, I'm just praying, I'm just seeing if God has something. I'm like, well, good for you, I'm not, I'm going to bed. So the next morning we walk into the room, and you know, Michael was talking about the old and the new, you know, and fresh and familiar, and how do you bring them together? There has to be a gap where they attach, you know. As my kids, if it breaks, use duct tape. You know, anything can be tied up with duct tape right there in the middle, and it attaches together. So I kept asking the Lord,
that's,
you know, in that place, in that conference, what is the duct tape? What binds together that old and that new, you know. And so I remember we walked in that morning, and he's so patient. He got to be in my next door body, sitting next to me, and he was so patient with me, you know. And I was just wiggling in my seat, and I was just stirred. I knew God was doing something. I didn't know what. And, you know, God said, you know what you're supposed to do. And I said, I'm not moving. I mean, I'm a little stubborn, you know. So I began to draw. And I was just drawing and drawing what he was showing me. And I said, Lord, I know what you're saying, but I'm not moving. I don't have that relationship with these people. I mean, some don't even know who I am. I can't just walk up there while all these people, important people, are talking and say, hey, this is what God showed me, you know. I don't even know how it fits into this whole thing. So I remember sitting there and God saying, Vivian, I have a word. You need to get up and go tell Michael. And I remember I looked up and I said, God, at this moment, I care more about me going up there and embarrassing my spiritual father than anything else. I mean, you can spank me tomorrow, but I'm not going up there right now. And there was that peace that came in that moment that the Lord just washed off this anxiety, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I knew, you know, Michael talked about, you know, there was these 1,000 people and 5,000 had to be tested. How do we know what was the test? How do we know when that is, you know? And in that moment, I understood what binds the old and the new is how he comes in. And it's not about changing our mindset the way we imagine. It's about experiencing a new mindset.
Right. Good.
It's about developing this feeling that we know that how it is, it's not the way it was supposed to be, but not because of that, that wasn't God. You know, and how that merges into these new and changes. So anyway, so I sat in there. I sat with that word. Well, the funny thing is, the word that God had given me was the dream I had 3 years ago. So that was the old, right?
Yeah.
And we had this dream. I had this dream when we were living with Kathy, and we had been praying for a house. And I remember I sat in that dream for months before I even told Adam, and then a few more months after that before I shared it with Michael. And even Michael said, yeah, this is God and this is what I hear, but let's wait and see. You know, let's wait and see what God is doing. Let's see how it's going to look. And the whole time I kept thinking this dream is about my new house. It's about the natural, physical things that God has for me. You know, because that's what we were pursuing. Mm-hmm. Well, a door opened. We got a new house. We moved out. And I remember thinking, okay, it has been fulfilled. And God said, no, the dream has not been fulfilled. Well, a year went by, we moved into a new house. And I thought, okay, this surely is. And God said, no. So anyway, this is the dream. One of the other things that Michael shared with y'all for the ones that were not in Dallas was everything that is Christ is the only thing that can go back to Christ. When we talk about mindsets, when we talk about the things that we know, it's no longer about the things that we have been taught, but about the things that we have experienced. Mm-hmm. The things that God is infusing in us through that. So anyway, in my dream, I saw this floor, this hallway, and the floor was checkerboard, like white and black checkerboard. There was this huge clock on the wall, and it kept ticking. And you could hear this clock ticking, you know. Well, at that point, my mindset on time was, it's my time. I need it today. I need it tomorrow. I need it now. You know, we're late. We missed it. God is already passed by and I'm still back at one, you know. And I'm going to miss it. But then one of the things we learned in the conference was, time is not how we imagine, you know. Well, how did I get there? By having 8 kids and always being late. I would arrive everywhere and people would go, Vivian, you're late again. And I, as a joke, I'd start telling them, I'm just on time. This is when God wanted me to show up. This is where I am. I left 2 hours ago, but this is how long it took me to get here. You know, so it became as a joke, and that's how we're known by everyone in the homeschool community. Everybody laughs because they're like, Vivian, you truly are just on time. It's just about to begin. Exactly. I didn't have to sit there for an hour with 8 kids waiting for this class to begin. But I was late in their eyes, you know. So anyway, this clock kept haunting me, has been haunting me for years. And this floor. And then one day I realized, oh, wait, it looks like I'm a scene for Alice in Wonderland. You know? And I thought, that's so cool. You know, Alice in Wonderland, okay, the clock, the floor, whatever. Well, in this dream, the other side of the wall, there was a door. And there was this strong man. And Adam, the kids, and I were in that hallway. And we kept wanting to go through that door. And every time we would approach the door, the strong man would refuse us. What's interesting is that all this time I thought it was about us. And when we were in Dallas, the Lord revealed that represented a family, a body. Adam, the kids, and I is the representation of the body of Christ. So then you have the body of Christ, you have this time, you have this hallway, and now you have a door and a strong man. And I remember seeing there in Dallas, as the Lord was showing me this. Now remember, this is an old dream. A dream that I thought it meant God one day was going to open the door for us to walk into these things that we have been praying for years. But they have never meant to be ours. Because it wasn't what God wanted for us. So then here we are, and I remember we approached this man a few times to let us through the door. And every time we had a different reaction. Okay? Sometimes we were angry, so we came back to the hallway and we would talk about it. And we were so angry, we just wanted to punch this man, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes we would come back to the hallway and praise. Okay, we're just going to praise God until he lets us through, you know. Sometimes we came back to the hallway and prostrated ourselves because it was the only thing we knew how to do at that point, you know. So the reaction of what was happening in that hallway was different every time. It never dawned to me until we were in Dallas. 3 years later, I was sitting there and God said, do you realize the door has always been open? We keep talking about things because that's what we were taught. Oh, well, God is going to open the door one day. And he's going to close the door here. And God was saying that day, the door has always been open. And I remember sitting there in Dallas and Sam was talking. And I remember thinking, then why can't we go through? Then why is this man there? And so then he began to reveal to me. The reason that it looked like Alice in Wonderland is because that's how it is. We have been in the land of wondering for a long time. Wondering why, wondering when, wondering who, wondering what me, wondering why is this happening this way, wondering what am I supposed to do, wondering who am I. We have just settled in this land of wonderland. The second thing he showed me was, whatever reaction happens in that hallway, it was never about that. We have been taught by our, you know, our forefathers, the way they dealt with stuff, you know, everything we've gone through, you know, is this major masterpiece. And, you know, one of the things that we learned in Dallas, it was never about that. What happened in that hallway, it wasn't about that. You're hurt, the things that you've gone through your life, the loss, the pain, the suffering, it wasn't about that. Let it go. Now, that God did not use that? Yes, because he never wastes anything. He has used every single thing that you've gone through your life to get you to where you're supposed to be. To get it to make you who you're supposed to be. But it wasn't about that. How many of us have been so caught up in the wonderland about everything that's happened that we've never seen that it wasn't about that? At one point in the dream, the last time we came back, he wouldn't let us through. And I remember Adam opened the Bible. And in the dream, I remember thinking, we're not reading it. Why are we opening it? And in that moment, I'm sitting in Dallas, and I'm thinking this in my mind, you know. And Sam begins to talk about what the word really represents, which is the water. Is the water. Is the water. And that moment, I realized, until we're washed up with the water, it doesn't matter what we do, we can't move forward to the door. Because we're not ready. Everything that was happening in that hallway was getting us to a place where we realized what was Christ and what wasn't.
Good.
Because until we realize that what wasn't Christ is the one thing that won't let us move forward, not because we're not ready, we are. Not because we don't know, we know. Not because we're lost, we're not anymore. But because we have to be willing to put down what's not Christ in order to move forward. I never thought of asking God what was in the other side of the door. I don't know. I never saw. I never thought about peeking. I don't know. All I know that what God was saying was, unless you put down what's not Christ, you can't walk through the door. Okay, so let's go back to the strong man. There's this huge guy. And I could feel it within in everything in my being that he was evil. Like he wasn't an angel of God just, you know, waiting. No, this was the strong man. This was him, the accuser, that was stopping everything. Mm-hmm. So anyway, at what point we're surrounded, we're in a circle and we're looking at the word. We're not reading it. We're just looking at it. Mm-hmm. And I can see in the spirit what God was doing about removing with his water that yes. there was not Christ. So anyway, at that point, I hear the voice of God. And the word that he said was, let them through. So at that point, you know, like when you're in Cracker Barrel and they call your name and you're wrong because it's your table and you've been waiting an hour. So we put the Bible and we ran to the door. But, you know, we have kids. We have ways of, that we do things. So Adam went through first. The kids follow. And I say at the end, make sure the kids went through, you know. And as I'm walking through, I look over and I look at this man and I see his eyes and I see fire. And I see pain, and I see evil, like pure evil. And I could see himself, how he was trying to restrain himself to not go after us, to not attack us, to not kick us out. And in that moment, I realized God said, we have put in the devil all these things of, he does all these things.
Yeah.
And one of the things we learned in Dallas was, even he has to go before the throne of God and ask permission. You know, so here we are, the moment that we realize that everything in us that's not Christ has to be done, and we say, yes, Lord, send me, and we agree and allow God to do that, is the moment not even the enemy can stand before us.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we learned, and I can't tell you, it changed everything in my being, is my DNA says that I am an heir with Christ.
Yes.
You know what? I'm not putting up with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
If it's part of my DNA to inherit whatever God has for me on the other side of that door, then it's time. It's time to not allow that strong man to stand there. He can't.
Amen.
But the thing is that until we recognize the fullness of not being in that wonderland anymore, we know who we are. We know what we are inheritors of. Two, the time. I still don't have a house, y'all. Guess what? I may never do. But guess what? He said the nations are mine.
Yeah. Yes.
How is that going to happen? I don't know. But they're mine.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Guys, I haven't lost any of it.
Amen.
Good. Good.
Amen.
And his voice has told that man to move. So as I'm sitting there and Sammy's talking and I'm laughing because I'm drawing and I'm having this conversation with God and Sam is touching every single thing that God was showing me in this dream.
Amen.
And this is the word that God said. That is his body. This is a word for his body. This is a word for you. The strong man has been moved and the door is open.
Good.
It's time. It's time to walk through the other side. Yes. Whatever that is for you in the other side, it's time. There's nothing stopping you. Your past is not stopping you. Mm. What happened to you is not stopping you. What didn't happen to you is not stopping you. Yeah. It's time for what's Christ to return to Christ. Mm-hmm. And until we allow that to happen and we walk through that door, then we will always forever be standing in wonderland.
Huh. Good. Good, Vivian. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's I want that dream, and I want that word. If you can, we have it. You have it recorded, okay? So, with your permission, we'll transcribe the dream and the word. And one of the things that we're doing, actually, I've been asked to do, is assemble all of the prophetic that went forth in the gathering in Dallas, and any other additional words that were not given that people feel should be included in a compilation of the prophetic. And we're going to develop a web page and publish all of this so everyone has access to it. So that should be a part of the compilation. It definitely should be a part. So please, hopefully we can get the transcription, if some of you will help with that. But we love Jesus. And we love you. Would you stand to your feet? And we just want to say thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for breaking the bread of fellowship with us today as we've come together to consume that which only you can give, that each of us bring these parts, these pieces, the parcel, and the combination of all of this has been meat and drink for us today. But more than today, as Michael Tremble said, Lord, we break this bread and pass it on. We pour this cup and pass it on.
Yes.
And we're not diminished by it. We give it away, and give it away. And yet we are not diminished. And the multitudes continue to be nourished by that which you have given. Lord, we are grateful for this group, this yes. family, Lord. I ask for the blessing of the Lord and good grace to be upon every family
yes.
that's a part of this family.
Yes.
Lord, as people continue in the work that you've called them to do, let this be a time of elevation for them. Let this be a time yes. of augmentation. Let this be a time, Lord, of greater depth and clarity, more so than at any other time, Lord, so that we find ourselves to be a people of purposeful steps, Lord. That you order our steps, but we willingly take those steps, Lord. And as we do, victory will meet us.
Yes.
And as we do, your grace will sustain us. And as we do, every provision will attend us. And Lord, we're not afraid. Lord, we are not afraid.
Yes.
We go forth, Lord, in the spirit and power of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I would just urge you to, if you look around and you don't know someone, please introduce yourself. And thank you guys. What a rich and glorious day. God bless you.
Thank you for that word, brother.
That clock hasn't worked in years.
When you get it, it's just-